It's hard to pass up the opportunity this week not to speak about these words in this week's parsha. Lo savaru esh b'chomosh maseichem b'yom haShabbos. So we're not going to speak about some of the things we spoke about in the past in terms of what's considered to be a fire or the role of electricity. That was already a whole topic in and of itself. But I want to speak really in a certain sense the pshat, or the halachic pshat, so to speak, or the halachic drash, whatever you want to call it, as to what exactly do we derive from these words in the Chumash. There is a very basic problem, of course, in the beginning of parsha Vayakel, when the Torah gives us the prohibition of lighting fires on Shabbos, is that it seems to be superfluous. We already know, lo sasaka malocha. We know this back from Parshas Yisro, yinala de malocha, and back from Parshas Kisis, yinala de malocha. And the Torah, even in Parshas Vayakel, says that you're not allowed to do kol osibah malocha yumas. So the obvious problem is, if we're not allowed to do malocha, and we have already a tradition, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that there's halacha Moshe Messina, that the word malocha in the Torah refers to the 39 malochas. Anything that was done in the construction of the Mishkan is considered to be a malocha. If lighting fires was done in the construction of the Mishkan, so we know already, lo savaru esh. So why does the Torah have to single out the malacha lo savaru esh? There was a machlekes at Tanoim, just how to answer this question, the basic fundamental question, we learned Parshas HaShavua, as to why the Torah singles out lo savaru esh. So the two Tanoim went in two very, very different directions. So the first of the Mamakomos, in Shabbos, Nef Ayin of an Aleph, the Gemara quotes a Brais, the Sanya Avar lo lav yotzos divi Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Nasir om lechalik yotzos. So Rabbi Yossi has, really is a startling interpretation of the Pasuk Lo Savaru Esh. Rabbi Yossi says that the reason why the Torah singles out Havara, singles out the prohibition of lighting a fire, is to teach us that the prohibition of lighting a fire on Shabbos is not so bad. I don't mean not so bad that it's mutar. It means it's not like the other 38 malachas. The other 38 malachas, if you write, if you plow, if you plant, you cook, you chayav misa, skila, you chayav kores, if you do it b'shogi, you chayav a korban chatos. That's a disaster. That's the highest of the highest type of chilul Shabbos. If you light a fire on Shabbos, so why does the Torah single out lo savaru esh to teach us that it's only low, it's only a lav, it's only an isser lav, it's not an isser of malach, it's not considered to be similar to the other 38 malachas. So according to Biyosi, the fact that the Torah singles it out doesn't make it more chomer. If anything, it makes it more kal. So Rabbi Nosson says the exact opposite. Rabbi Nosson Omer, l'chalik yotzos. The reason why the Torah singles out Havara is to teach us that Havara is an independent Isser. I would have thought that if you do a lot of different acts of Chil Shabbos, I would have thought that's all one big Avera. It's like repeating the same Avera 39 different times. The halacha is, if you repeat the same Avera 39 times, if you did it b'shogeg, you only bring one carbon. Let's say, for example, a person eats chametz on Pesach. So he eats chametz on Pesach, he eats a slice of pizza on Pesach. Then 2 minutes later, he eats a bagel. 2 minutes later, he has a bowl of cereal. 2 minutes later, a box of cookies. He keeps on eating chametz and chametz and chametz and chametz. So the din is, it's one big Avera. It's all considered to be the same Avera, and you'd only bring one carbon chatas. The Gemara actually has a machlekes tanoim. If you have different tasting chametz, maybe that's different, but maybe that wasn't the best example that I gave. But again, theoretically, the issue of chametz is really all one big Avera. So the Gemara raises the question, what would the din be on Shabbos if a person plows and he plants and he writes and he harvests and he cooks, he does all the different lametes melachos, how many karbonos does he have to bring? So Rabbi Nosson tells us that's the reason why the Torah singles out Havara, to teach us that each melacha is really separate and independent. The Torah really could have singled out any of the melachas. It could have said, lo tichtavu b'shabbos, and that would have taught us that kosev is a separate melacha, and then we would have derived from kosev to the other 38 melachas. For whatever reason, the Torah chose the melacha of Havara. So according to Rabbi Nosson, Havara is not an exception to the rule. Havara is the model. Havara is the source for this principle called chiluk melachas l'shabbos, that each melacha is considered to be a separate independent avera, nafkamina in terms of number of karbonos. So the Tanoim here have two very, very different ways of understanding why the Torah singles out Havara. Is Havara there to teach me that it's much more lenient than other melachas? Or is Havara there to teach me that it's really the same as other melachas, and it actually teaches me a certain chumra within the melachas, that each melacha is a separate avera? This machlekes hatanoim may be the source of another important machlekes hatanoim, which could potentially have serious ramifications for us lahalacha. In terms of actually lighting fires on Shabbos, nobody says it's mutter. The Torah says it's also. Whether it's malchus, whether it's skila, whether it's karis, that's a technicality. But there is a potential nafkamina ladina which can potentially affect us. So that's if you take a look at the second of the Maamar Kamos. Tosfos in Maseches Beitza, Daf Chav Gimel and Aleph, quotes a Yerushalmi. V'chimash Yerushalmi de Meshil in the end of Maseches Beitza. Ma'alad luke ner shal batola b'yomtiv. Is a person permitted to light a fire on Yontif for no reason whatsoever? Now we have to just quick to point out, when we speak about lighting a fire, we don't mean from scratch, that we already spoke about in the past, to rub two sticks, rub two stones, strike a match, that's for sure prohibited on Yontif. I'm talking about to light a fire from a pre-existing flame. Are you permitted to light a fire for no purpose? So we know you're allowed to light a fire to cook. We know you're allowed to light a fire to heat up your house. You're allowed to light a fire to read by. A guy just stomped for kicks, stomp wants to light a fire. What's the din? Is a ner shel batala permissible on Yontif? So the Rishalmi says Rabbi Yossi asar for Rabbanan Sharu. So the Rishalmi presents it as a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the other chachamim. What's the issue? What are they fighting about? So the Rishalmi never explains. So Tosas explains what's going on. V'atam, Tosas says, Manda Osar, the one who says that it's Osar on Yontif, Sovar the Havar L'chalik Yotzta, he is of the opinion that Havara is no different than the other 38 Malachas. They're all the same. All Malachas are equal to one another. The Havi Malacha, and since Havara, lighting a fire, is a full-fledged Malacha, Osla Sosa B'Yontif, so whatever is a Malacha cannot be done on Yontif. You're allowed to do certain things on Yontif for food. You're allowed to do certain things on Yontif with Tzarech Hayom. You're allowed to carry food, and so just as you're allowed to carry food, you can carry a sefer. You're allowed to cook. You're allowed to do certain things on Yontif, but they have to be Tzarech Hayom oriented. If a person wants to light a fire for no Tzarech Hayom, so then it's Asar. Everything on Yontif is also to prove it mutter. All malachas are also on Yontif, unless you have a matir, veichon nefesh, or a similar type of a matir. So that's what Rabbi Yossi's opinion was, that Havara is also on Shabbos, so that it carries over, it's also on Yontif as well. If it's also on Yontif, kol zman, you don't have a matir, veichon nefesh, or tzarech hayayim, then it remains be'isuro. But what about the other chachamim? What do the other opinions hold? Uman deshari sava, the other opinions held, the lalav yotzta, that Havara is not a real malacha. Havara is the quote-unquote 39th, lack of a better term, malacha, but it's not really a malacha. How do you know it's not a malacha? Because you're not chayav kares for it, you're not chayav skila for it. So since it's not on par with the other malachas, therefore, on Yontif, it's heta gomor. V'havara shlo l'tzorach mutal asosu b'yontif, lo aviyav malacha. Since it's not chayav skila and kares and chatas for it, it's not a malacha. Whatever's not a malacha is not going to be asur and yontif. So this is already a nafkamina ladina. This is already a practical nafkamina. If you hold that havar is the same as any other malacha, so then it's going to be asur and yontif, unless you have a tzorech hayom. If you hold that it's not a malacha, then the starting point is that it's mutter. The Torah says you can't light fires on Shabbos, but the Torah never said you can't light fires on Yontif. So you don't even need a matir. You don't need a tzarech hayom to be matir havara. Havara is mutter in and of itself. So that's already enough kabina ladina. How do we pass it on this shayla? So Torah continues with Mehosam Ka'amar, that if you look at the Rishami says, lo tesov lo tishrei. The Rishami says, if somebody asks you the shayla, don't say it's asur, and don't say it's mutter. In other words, it's hard to be bachuri. It's hard to answer the shayla. The Rishami leaves us hanging. And therefore, Tosafot says, "Mikan yesh lizor milasos avar shlo tzarech." So therefore, Lamaisa, since the Rishami never says it's mutter, never says it's also either, but never said it was mutter, so our hands are tied. We don't know what to do. So just as the Rishami, Kitaminim Rishami lo tesel lo tishrei, we also have to refrain from lighting fires on Yontif that are unnecessary. L'chara, one could take the Tosafot even one step further. One could argue that lahalacha we don't accept Rabbi Yossi. If you look in the Rishonim, we pass like Rabbi Nosson. We pass in that havar is not lalav yotzas. We pass in that if a person lights a fire in Yontif is chayev skila and kares. We pass in there were 39 malachas on Shabbos, not 38 malachas. According to Rabbi Yossi, there are only 38 malachas. Havar is the exception to the rule. So we b'chalal do not pass in that way. We pass in if a person strikes a match on Shabbos, a person drives a car on Shabbos, a person turns on the electric lights on Shabbos. So he's chayev skila. It's an outright malacha, but lishum sofik whatsoever. So therefore, for us, we would be forced to pass in that it's asur on Yontif as well, unless you have a tzorech, and the tzorech being eichol nefesh or tzorech hayom, etc. So halacha lemaisa, based on this tosus, what really should come out is that we must be machmir on Yontif because we're machmir on Shabbos, because we hold that havar is a real full-fledged malacha. We interpret lo sevar eish b'chomosh v'seichem not as a kula, but rather as a chumra. Therefore, under no circumstances can a person light a fire on Yontif unless there's an absolute bona fide tzorech hayom.
He's backing into the 39 malachas by what the punishment is, and not what we did in the Beis Hamikdash.
Right, so he's saying that since, even though Havara was used in the process of building the Mishkan, since the Torah goes out of its way to say the Inad Chayef Skila for it, it must be that the Torah is being mafkia the Shem Malacha from Havara. That's how Tosfos is learning pshat. So you're mechaving to the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch says that maybe it's a malacha without a chiyuv skila. That's already a very, very long deshagdar. But Tosfos didn't say that. Tosfos says.
It seems like, it seems like a basic, because the motto is the malacha. And the
onus is the afterthought, right? So that you see, your mamish like the lumbas of Mechas Chinuch. But Taisa seems to learn the Torah says in this week's Pashkola, Osebo Malacha Yumas. The onus for Malacha is Skila. If you have an activity on Shabbos that doesn't carry with the nearest Skila, then it cannot be called a Malacha. It's also, but it's not called a Malacha. So again, Lamaisa doesn't matter for us. Lamaisa and Shabbos, we pass in Avara, is the same as Yad Lam and Ches Malachas. And therefore, the Chorot should be Osir as an Issa Gomer and Yom Tov also. Right, this is a different Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the Amora. There. In the Rishalmi, the phrase Rabbi Yossi is referring to the Amora Rabbi Yossi. So up until now, we've explained at least part of the pasuk of this week's Pasha, at least the Lo Savaru Eish part. But now there's a second part of the pasuk, which is also difficult to understand. It says, Lo Savaru Eish Bechomosh Vosechem Yom HaShabbos. So the Torah says, you're not allowed to light fires wherever you are, wherever you live. So the Gemara says, that's a very strange phrase, Bechomosh Vosechem. And if it wouldn't have said B'chomosh V'seichem, what would we have thought? We would have thought that as long as you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to light fires. What do the words mean? So we know there's a general rule when it comes to mitzvahs. Any mitzvah that's a mitzvah, Hatluya Ba'aretz, if it's an agricultural mitzvah, so we derive from Sukkim, agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Kisavala Aretz, Shemit, Trumas, Maisas, etc. Those are Eretz Yisrael oriented mitzvahs. Anything which is a Chavis Aguf, any mitzvah which applies to a person's body, doesn't involve the ground, so that applies Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'chutz La'aretz. The Gemara says that B'favors, that's B'favorish Mishnah, Maseches Kedushin. The Gemara derives it from Sukkim. Nobody ever questioned that. So of course, mitzvahs apply in Chutz La'aretz as well. There's a famous comment in the Ramban in a few places in Chumash writes, that the Iker mitzvahs is really an Eretz Yisrael. That's the real goal of mitzvahs is an Eretz Yisrael. That's where Kadosh Baruch Hu's Iker Shechin is. That's where you're really supposed to do mitzvahs. Kadosh Baruch Hu told us we have to keep mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz also to keep us going. Prepare, we're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's like a hachana, so to speak, for returning to Eretz Yisrael. So in the world of Ashkofa, the Ramban develops this whole idea that mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz have to be done. There's no chalil b'chalil to say that the Ramban said you don't do mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz. That's obviously against everything. But the Ramban is saying that it's a lower level of mitzvah. The mitzvah that a person performs in Chutz La'aretz is not quite as the same ikra mitzvah as a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. So I remember I was once giving a shiur and I was talking about what's a mitzvah derais, a mitzvah derabanan. So somebody raised their hand and said, and according to the Ramban, all the mitzvahs of Chutz La'aretz are derabanan. I said, no, that's not at all what the Ramban said. You read the Ramban 100 times, you won't get any, no someone's living or dead to what the Ramban said. The Ramban never chalila said that mitzvahs of Chutz La'aretz are derabanan. The Ramban just said that in the world of Ashkof, in the world of Machshava, so the Iker Tachas of mitzvahs is supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael, not necessarily in Chutz La'aretz. Chutz La'aretz is more of a hachona for Eretz Yisrael. But akol panim, mitzvahs obviously apply in Chutz La'aretz of the Chavis Aguf. So the question becomes, why does the Torah have to say B'chomosh V'seichem? I would have known it on my own. The Torah says you're not allowed to light a fire. The Torah says you can't drive a car. So I would have said, oh, only in Eretz Yisrael you can't drive a car. But in Tinek you can. I would have known that on my own. So why does the Torah say B'chomosh V'seichem? So the Gemara Maseches Yevamos in the third of the Mamakamis tells us that we have a tradition that phrase B'chomosh V'seichem is teaching us something totally different. So says the Gemara, and Yevamos Davav, Vama Rava Tana Moshavas Kakashalei, that the Tana of the Braisa that was quoted earlier on the Daf was bothered with the phrase Moshavos. Moshavos Matabaloma. Why does the Torah say B'chomosh V'seichem? Michte Shabbos Chovos Agufi. Shabbos is a personal obligation. V'chovos Aguf Nohegis Bein Ba'aretz Bein B'chutz La'aretz. And all Chovos Aguf Kashros Tavos Meshpacha Tefillin. Everything is Noeg Bein Ba'aretz Bein B'chutz La'aretz. Moshavos Tekosav Rechaman B'Shabbos Lamali. So Taka, why does the Torah use the phrase B'chomosh V'seichem concerning Shabbos? So Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amar Tamid Echad, one of the Tamidim of Rabbi Shmuel responded and said it's based on the following. The Fisha Nemar, it says later on in Sefer Devarim, B'chiyeh B'ish Chet Mishpat Mavas V'humas, there's a mitzvah that if a person Nebuch violated in Issa Ramisa's Beis Din, so there's a mitzvah in the Beis Din to put him to death. So I would think Shemeni Bein Bechol Bein B'Shabbos that a Beis Din is supposed to mete out an onesh, is supposed to punish a person even on Shabbos. Say they just found the person killed somebody, they just decided that it's Chayav Misa, so they should kill him on the spot even on Shabbos. Ah, Yomani Mekayim Mechalem Os Yumas. Either Torah says you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos, or killing the person is going to be a violation of chilul Shabbos. B'shar melachos chutz mises beizin. I would have thought that mises beizin is the exception to the rule. Oh, anyway, I feel of mises beizin, or maybe no, we're not sure. Maybe the Torah means that you shouldn't kill a person on Shabbos because that would be a violation of melacha. Umani mekayim v'humas. Either there's a mitzvah to put a person to death. B'chovelo b'Shabbos. Maybe that mitzvah is only performed during the week. Oh, anyway, I feel of b'Shabbos. So the Tan is going back and forth and back and forth. He doesn't know what's the din. Is the mitzvah of Haruge Beizdin, is that mitzvah Deicha Shabbos or not? We have a lot of mitzvahs that are Deicha Shabbos. Mila B'yom HaShmini is Deicha Shabbos. Korban Pesach is Deicha Shabbos. Korban Tomid is Deicha Shabbos. Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos. A lot of things are Deicha Shabbos. So I would have thought that the mitzvah to mete out a punishment to Beizdin is Deicha Shabbos as well. So that's the meaning of the Pasuk. Tamad Loimar, Lo Sevar Reish B'chomash V'seichem. U'lahal Nu'om Ve'vayu Eil Lachem Nechukas Mishpel Adoraseichem B'chomash V'seichem. The Torah in Parshas Maaseh uses the phrase Mosh V'seichem to describe a Beizdin. Ma Moshavas Amurim Lahalim V'beizdin. Af Moshavas Amurim Kan V'beizdin. So we have a Gzeir Shavah. We have a tradition that teaches us that the word Moshavas refers to Beizdin. So when the Torah says Lo Sevar Reish B'chomash V'seichem, what that means is, even in Beizdin, you're not allowed to light a fire. What does it mean, light a fire? One of the Arba Mises Beizdin is Sreifa. So you're not allowed to do a Sreifa on Shabbos. And from here we derive, you're not allowed to do a Skila, Herigachanek, either on Shabbos. V'am Rachman lo Sevaru. So there's an Issa D'Araisa to punish a person with a Mises Beizdin on Shabbos. So that's the second half of the Pasuk, lo Sevaru Eish. So the first half of lo Sevaru Eish teaches us, according to Rabbi Yossi, that Havar is the Lav Yotzas. According to Rabbi Nosson, that's the Chalak Yotzas. The Yechayiv is a separate carbon for each Malacha. And the second half of the Pasuk teaches me that you're not allowed to mete out a punishment to Beis Din on Shabbos, even though normally putting Beis Din to punish a person is a mitzvah, but this is not one of the mitzvahs that's Deicha Shabbos. So the Rambam, when he formulates this Halacha, in Uch HaShabbos, Perech Avdad, Halacha Zayin, he formulates it in a little bit of a strange way. So ein einshin b'Shabbos. So the Rambam starts out by saying that the iser is you're not allowed to punish a person on Shabbos. Ava bisha einish mitzvah esay. He's in effect the havamin of the Gemara. Even though to manish the person mises beizin is a mitzvah, ein a decha Shabbos. It's not a kind of a mitzvah that's decha Shabbos. Ketzer hareishin is chayev beizin malchus omisa. So the Rambam starts talking about the wrong thing. The Rambam is talking about a guy who's chayev malchus. The pasuk is talking about a guy who's chayev misa. The pasuk was talking about Sreifa. What gave the Ram the right to jump to Malkus? So we'll see in a moment. Sreifa is chayv v'ezin Malkus amisa. A Malkus of a misa also b'Shabbos. One is not permitted to give Malkus. One's not permitted to give misa on Shabbos. Shneimar lo sevar eish b'chomash v'seich b'yom haShabbos. Zu azar lo beizdin shlo yisrufu b'Shabbos. We should is chayv Sreifa. So the original pasuk, the ikar meaning of the pasuk of this drasha of the Tosh Rabbeh is referring to Sreifa. V'uadim l'sharonshin. And this refers to all other onshin as well. So the Chor of the Rambam is very difficult. How did the Rambam know to make a jump from the din of Sreifa all the way to Malkus? It's quite a difference between the two. So obviously what the Rambam is learning is that the nature of the Isser is not that there's an Isser of Sreifas Baskayin. It's not that there's an Isser that kills somebody in Shabbos. The Isser is B'taris onshin. You're not allowed to be manish in Shabbos. Shabbos is not a time for onshin. That Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Rishonim write, even in the Olam HaSal Yoinim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not ma'anish, and whatever that means, in the Olam HaSal Yoinim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not ma'anish on Shabbos. So in the Beis Din Shomath also, Shabbos is the day off. That even the person who's Chayav Misa, so he's not going to be punished on Shabbos itself. So not only is he not going to be punished with the Misa's Beis Din, he's not going to be punished with the Malchus as well.
People die on Shabbos.
Yeah, okay, so that's a different cheshbon. That's not always necessarily an Einish. Different story. So the question is, does any of this play out for us? L'maisa, I mean, we don't have Mises Beizim as manazeh. The Gemara says that once the Sanhedrin left the Beis HaMikdash, so then you're not allowed to be manish Mises Beizim. Kozman, the Beizim Agol was sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Lishkas Agazis, then you have smaller but they did them throughout the world that meet out Mises Beizim. But if you have the Beis Din and the Beis HaMikdash isn't functioning anymore, then the whole Mises Beis Din system falls by the wayside. So we don't have Mises Beis Din anymore. We don't even have Malkus anymore. Why? For Malkus, you don't need the Beis Din to be sitting in the Beis HaMikdash. But we don't have Malkus either because we don't have Beis Din Smuchin. We don't have the official, authentic Smicha, Ish B'Pi Yishan, Moshe Rabbeinu. So we don't give out Malkus either. So we don't do too many Onshin anymore. So what could, how could this possibly be relevant for us? So the Ramah, in the next of the Ramah Mekomis, the Ramah Narechayim in Uch HaShabbos, and Simon Shinlam Betesiv Dalad writes a possible practical nafkamina for us. For the chain also litvos lahachnis lebeis hasoar mishen eschayv eza onesh kedesh lo yivrach. So the Ramah is quoting from a Beis Yosef, is quoting from one of the Bishan, the Shmuel Yaleket, who talks about as follows. Even though the formal onshin that in terms of Mises Beis Din and Malkus, those things we don't punish anymore. We don't have the authority to punish anymore. But there is a principle called Makan Va'injin Shalom and Adin. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos that if you have an individual who does something and the community feels, the Rabbanim, the Beis Din, the community feels that there's some emergency measure that the person has to be punished, so the Beis Din has the right to a certain extrajudicial powers to punish the person. Again, obviously we're talking about a situation where the Jewish courts are in control, when they're allowed to be doing what they're doing. We're not addressing any issues of Dina de Machusa now. Nobody should misinterpret what I'm saying. Nobody should quote me out of context. We're talking about any situation where there's nothing else going on. It's a pure Beis Din situation where the Beis Dins have the authority and control to do what they have to do. So then sometimes the situation arises where the Beis Din is permitted to actually punish a person, even though it doesn't necessarily meet the official punishment of the crime. It's not the Mises Beis Din, it's not the Malkus that the Torah describes, but it's Begedah Rosha, it's an emergency kind of a measure. So the Beis Din in town does have certain authority to do that. So the Ramah is addressing such a situation. There were times in Jewish history where the Beis Din did have autonomy with the Goyim, let the Jews do these kinds of things. But other times when they didn't. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, so when the Mishnah Berurah quotes these dinim, so every other line of the Mishnah Berurah, there's a little bit of an asterisk, and it says in the bottom, Kol Elu Adinim Nemru Bizman Shahaya Shlita Lasos Dvarim Ka'elu, because the censors in Europe wouldn't let them print the Mishnah Berurah unless they would keep on putting in that line, because the secular authorities weren't interested in them locking the people in jail and doing kinds of things. So every time a sefer was written, that any remnants of anything like this, they had to write the disclaimer in the bottom that it doesn't really apply Bizman Hazeh. So anyway, so the Ramah Rai, that if we're able to, so we're able to punish a person or put the person into jail in order to figure out what to do with him. So the Ramah says we're not supposed to do that on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do any of those kinds of activities on Shabbos. If im yivrach, the person may escape and alone in klubs. It's not a rachrayis, whatever it is. We're not on Shabbos, the day off. So on Shabbos, we're not supposed to punish the person whatsoever. So the Mishnah Berurah on that, Ramah writes that what that means is that you're not allowed to lock somebody up for the purpose of punishing them. What if you're locking a person up for the purpose of making sure that he doesn't escape, not because you want to punish him, but because you have to get him to do something. You're not going to punish him. We just lock him up to make sure he does something. So then the Mishnah Berurah says that's not included in this Ramah. So the Mishnah Berurah is describing a situation. Again, this is obviously Bizman when this is being done properly through a Beis Din has the authority to do this and the proper mechanism to do this. If a person doesn't want to give a get to his wife, so the Mishnah Berurah writes that if the Beis Din feels that they want to make sure they think he's going to run away, so they want to keep him under control, so that even on Shabbos they can lock him up. Even on Shabbos they can keep him under their eyes, and that's not considered to be a problem of being managed. Nobody's punishing, nobody's doing anything to him, they're just keeping him in town to make sure that he doesn't run away and make his wife an aguna. So, but putting that aside, if it would be a real issue of onesh, an issue of punishment, so punishments can never ever be meted out on Shabbos. It's an onesh Beis Din. The kid misbehaves, you want to punish him on Shabbos, that's something else. But you want to punish a person, b'torah is based in, so you have no right to do that. And that's actually what the Torah prohibits. Lo savar reish b'chol mashur seichav yom
ha-Shabbos. You extended the concept to onshin, but maybe you can interpret the Rambam literally, specifically
Right, okay, so the truth is that the Rambam himself is a Chiddush, and now what the Ramah is saying is really a Chiddush, like a Chiddush. I mean, it's going way beyond the actual, right. So the Emes says, if you look really carefully at the source that the Ramah is quoting from the Shmuel Yaleket, so it appears to the Shmuel Yaleket that he may have been a little bit less concerned with the Lo Savar Eish B'chom Shal Seichem. He may have been more concerned with another factor. The other factor is that Midrabanon, Beis Din shouldn't be functioning Bechlal on Shabbos, because Beis Din shouldn't even be sitting on monetary cases on Shabbos, because there's an overall Gezeir of Shema Yichtov. We're afraid that part of court proceedings usually is writing, so we want Beis Din to be shut down Lagamri on Shabbos. So that's even a little bit the Lashon HaRamah, that Tavi Bechlal Din. It may be not as much of a focus on the Lo Savar Eish, but it may be an issue of Din. If that's the case, then of course we go well beyond Malchus. You're right, if it's pure Lo Savar Eish, maybe it wouldn't extend that much further. So Achol Panim, at least we have a couple of different examples as to what the Torah is referring to. We have a pasuk in this week's Pasha, Lo Savar Reish, so we know that there's a basic problem, basic issue with the pasuk. How could the Torah single out the Havara? Wouldn't we know that already? So the Machlekes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nosson with the possible ramifications in terms of Achaz Yontif. Then we have the second issue that Chazal was sensitive to, that what's the role of the word Moshavos? How does that fit into the picture? And then there is a third possible interpretation of this phrase, in a drush of this phrase, Lo Savar Eish, B'chomosh V'secha B'yob HaShavos. I didn't put the actual Mar Mokom onto the page for one reason, because I don't know, I mean, I don't generally look in the Sefer, it's the Zohar, but the Zohar apparently in Parshas Vayakel, I don't have a Zohar either, so that's one of the reasons I couldn't put it in Mar Mokomis. The Zohar in Parshas Vayakel comments, Lo Savar Eish, B'chomosh V'secha, a very, very different interpretation. Lo Savar Eish, in addition to all the official halachic definitions, so the Zohar says, Lo Savar Eish, B'chomosh V'secha, means that a person is not allowed to get angry on Shabbos. Lo Savar Eish means fire. A person gets all riled up, gets all burnt up. So that's a special issue of getting angry on Shabbos. What in the world does that mean? Where does that issue come from? So if we take a look at the last of the Mar Mokomos, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos has part of that story. Doesn't have the Zohar's addition to it, but the Gemara in Shabbos starts the ball rolling. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Hamad Beis, tells us, V'atanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Oymer Mishum Chufa Ben Igra, Shom Mishum Yochanan Ben Nuri. So the following tradition was said in the name of Yochanan Ben Nuri, Hamakareh Begadah Bechamasa. If a person rips his clothing in anger, from a Shaber Kelo Bechamasa, he starts breaking things and throwing things and breaking things, from a Fazim Osa Bechamasa, he takes his money and he throws it down, all kind of things to show how angry it is. Yehei Be'enecha Ke'eved Avedazara. You should be nervous. If you see a person getting very, very uncontrolled anger, you should be chayshin. It's like a little bit of an ovid of a zara. Shekachum nasa shal yetzahara. That's the way the yetzahara works. Hayom omalo asekach. So today the yetzahara says, get angry. Ulamacha omalo asekach. The next day he tells him to go further and further and further. Ache omalo avod of a zara v'holach v'ovid. If you see that a person is totally out of control, that means his yetzahara is totally taking him over. A person who's subject to being totally taken over by his yetzahara can potentially be taken over by the Yetzirah to be over as far as over the Zara. Amar Rabbi Abin. Rabbi Abin says, "My Kra, what's the source for this idea that we say that getting angry is such a terrible thing?" So the Pasuk in Tehillim, "Lo yivcha el zar v'lo sishtachvel el nechar." So the Pasuk we say in the Shir Shoyom that you shouldn't have a foreign god in you. "Lo yivcha el zar." It's a very, very strange phrase. "Lo yivcha el zar." So Ezu el zar sheyesh begufa shel adam. What's the foreign god in a person? Little lo yevucha in a person's body. That refers to the Yetzirah, and particularly to the Yetzirah of Kas. So the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos tells us that if a person gets angry, that's like a bechina of being ovid avodah zara. And again, it doesn't mean that if a person gets angry and he touches wine, the wine is treif, as someone means. I mean, it doesn't mean if a person gets angry, it's chayef skila. It doesn't mean that either. It just means that it's a beginning of the avera. That idea of being totally loses self-control, that's already smacks at the beginning of the avera. Of Avodah Zarah. So perhaps one could suggest that maybe al derech this Gemara, that's what the Zohar is referring to as well. But the Zohar says that if a person get angry on Shabbos, that's an even more serious problem. Why? Because we know the Gemara tells us that the Shabbos and Avodah Zarah are compared to one another, and we know that in the world of Halacha that's true. There are two Averas that carry with them a chi of skila. There are the two Averas that the Halacha says if a person becomes an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, he becomes a mumel chalatar kula. If a person does certain averes, that person eats treif, so he shouldn't be the mashkiach in the restaurant, but it doesn't mean that he loses his nemanos, doesn't mean that we assume he violates all averes. Some people are not so careful about this avera, they're more careful about other averes. But if a person is an avid of a dezara, then he loses everything. The Gemara says, you're mumal of a dezara, you're mumal chotar kul. You can't say, well, I'm avid of a dezara, but I can still be the mashkiach. I'm avid of a dezara, but I still keep tasa mishpah. That doesn't make any sense. Once a person is an avid of a dezara, then you have to assume that he doesn't observe anything. Even if once in a while he may observe something, it's just coincidental. It's not really a commitment. Once you're an Ovid of Adazar. That's what the Gemara says. The same thing is true when it comes to Mechel Shabbos, at least for Hesia. If a person is a public desecrator of Shabbos, so then we treat him like an Ovid of Adazara, and he's a Mumul Chotar Kula. He cannot be accepted. That's what the din is. If a person is Mechel Shabbos, he tells you, Mechel Shabbos, but he eats kosher. That doesn't really mean anything. It means halachli. It's nice that he eats kosher, but it doesn't mean anything. Namely, he can't be the mashkiach, he can't be the shaykhid, he can't tell you that the food is kosher. Once the person is mechal shabbos for hesya, so he loses all degree of ne'amonus. What's called mechal shabbos for hesya is manazeh. That's already a topic in and of itself, maybe another time. But akol panim, there are certain comparisons in halacha between avodah zarah and chilul shabbos. Why are there? What's the reason for this comparison? So Rashi, with Sanas Chulin, writes that the reason is because the root of the chait of avodah zarah is a kfir of Hashem. A person's denying the Ribbono Shel Olam's existence. So that's what chilul shabbos is also, that a person's denying the borei olam. He's denying my sabrashis. A person who's bechal shabbos, not just stam that he's doing an aveira, but chilul shabbos carries with it an act, a statement of kfir also. It's a kofir in a certain dimension of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a kofir in the borei olam. So that's considered to be tantamount to a kfira of avodah zarah. So what the Gemara is telling us, that a person who is a koes, a person who's angry, so that's a little bit of a kvira, that's a little, it's a chatzishir, it's a little bit, it's a mashu of the chait of avodah zarah. So how much more so is that problematic if the person gets angry on Shabbos? If a person gets angry on Tuesday, it's bad, not encouraging anger on Tuesday, but for a person to get angry on Shabbos, that's the worst of the worst, because Shabbos is the time when the person is supposed to be makid the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the whole Shmir Shabbos is a statement that the Ribbono Shel Olam does exist, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Borei Olam. The person who gets angry, so that's an act of Chilul Shabbos. It's not just an Ovid of Adazar, it's a b'chin of a chatzi shir of a Chilul Shabbos. So maybe it's a lom de shetar, it's a lit v'shetar in the Zohar. So maybe that's why there's a more chomer aveira, there's an iser, an additional aveira, additional level of chait of becoming chota, of becoming kohes and Shabbos, dafka because of the kfir shabo, as the Gemara in Shabbos daf kufei and beis highlights. Perhaps this is the reason why the Gemara tells us in second parak of Masechta Shabbos, commenting on the Mishnah that shlosh dvarim tzarif olam b'soch beis of Shabbos v'chashecha, that a person has to tell his wife, his family members, the Shabbos thoughts. He sat and rafta alikos aner, make sure that all the Shabbos preparations are ready. Bismarazeh, you don't have to ask about Isartem. If I don't ask Iraftem, like what's an ace left to say about, you have to ask other things, make sure the children's up, make sure the lights are on, make sure whatever has to be done. So the Gemara has an interesting chiddush. The Gemara says that these three things that the halacha requires, or any Shabbos preparations, as the husband's getting ready to go to mincha, he should just make sure everything is in place. So the Gemara says, Tzorach l'memrinu b'nichusa. He has to say it gently, he has to say it quietly, that he shouldn't start screaming at his wife. He should never scream at his wife. But why is it worse to scream at his wife on Friday afternoon? So the Gemara says, because Friday afternoon is the time, the Gemara says, that the Satan dances. Why? Because he knows that the intentions are high. People are getting nervous, so the Satan goes out of his way to make a machlokes. So the greatest challenge that the Satan has, the Shabbos, is getting people angry. So here a person is trying to get ready for Shabbos. They're trying to make sure to chill and make sure everything's all ready. And then they get angry. They get into a fight with their wife. Get into a fight with their kids. So then that starts out Shabbos on the wrong foot. So the mitzvah is lo savar resh b'chomosh v'seichem. Dafka to make sure that you go into Shabbos not in the state of anger. So what happens? So the Satan's really smart. He knows that why we're benching lecht on Friday afternoon, because the Torah says lo savar esh b'chomosh v'seich b'yom Shabbos, because you can't light a fire on Friday night. So we're forced to light the candles on Friday afternoon to fulfill that pasuk. So what does the Satan do? So 9 out of 10 fights start lecht benching time. Just the husband's screaming at his wife, the wife's not ready, she's screaming at him, he's screaming at other kids, everyone's screaming at each other, and most of the fights revolve around lecht benching. So the Satan got in the upper hand. So he got the pasuk lo savar esh b'chomosh v'seich, and he says, you think you're fulfilling lo savar esh b'chomosh v'seich, I'm going to quote you the Zohar, I'm going to show you that you're not fulfilling that mitzvah properly because you're getting angry as Shabbos is starting. So we have to be machped in that. So hopefully the schus of a little bit of learning the sugya. So not only do we have to be very, very careful in terms of the isser of lighting fires on Shabbos, we have to be hopefully one of any onshe misses based them to meet out in the near future, hopefully never. And hopefully we'll be a little bit more machped, but in the Zohar, Pshat, Lo Savar, Eish, V'chomosh V'seichem. So all three of these different interpretations of Lo Savar, Eish, V'chomosh V'seichem combine together to create the proper aura of Shabbos Kodesh should bring into the world.
Mechal Yantav is not the Ovid of the Zohar.
Mechal Yantav, right. Mechal Yantav for Hesed.